Welcome to Purpose Without Limits, the show which strives weekly to empower you to reach your true potential, to help you understand how a simple shift in thinking can make success a reality, both professionally and personally. You'll learn about business etiquette intelligence and why a first impression is so crucial, and the real rules of the game to help you outclass your competition. Your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. For more, visit MakeYourBestImpression.com. The time to become your best self is today. Here's Dallas Teague Snyder.
Welcome to Purpose Without Limits. I'm your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, America's impression engineer and author of Professionally Polished Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market. We're here each week to bring you a show to help you reach your true potential, to eliminate limiting beliefs and allow you to be your best self today. And our guest is certainly helping us do that just as well. Do you want to do more in less time? I know I do. And being organized is something that we all face. I know it's my goal to be organized, but somehow I just seem to miss the mark. And our guest has got tools and tips to help us put action into our daily lives to make things easier for us. And we are going to really learn a lot from her today. Karen Sladek is a graduate of the University of Michigan with graduate studies at the University of Detroit. She founded Organize for Results in 2006 and has been conducting seminars and workshops and also doing personal coaching since 2006. With a great demand for what she does, she says that organization is really a state of mind, a step-by-step process that really is a daily walk of life. Karen is a certified GO system trainer, which means get organized, and she teaches people ideas and techniques to put things into action for their day-to-day lives. She is the author of Tools for Successful Closing, and believe it or not, I'm so impressed. She's actually also a triathlete. She has participated in the Boston Marathon 3 times and qualified for competing in the Olympic distance triathlon. So I just can't imagine a better person to help us talk about this subject. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Why, thanks, Dallas. Quite the introduction there. I really appreciate being part of your show today.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure to have wonderful women like you on our show. All of us can learn amazing things from each other, and you certainly have a wonderful topic that we can all benefit from.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. So, Karen, when I think about organization, I really want to be organized. In fact, I think it's part of my core objectives, but sometimes I just miss the mark. I don't know if you've heard that before. In fact, you might laugh about this, but I actually had to put something by my door, and I call it the key area. My husband laughs because, you know, I just don't want to waste time trying to find my keys. And, you know, that seems silly. But do you find that we do this in business as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're all different. Our personalities are all different. We think differently. So it's real important to find out what works for you and then just stick to it.
Yeah, the whole key area thing, I think, really took him for a loop. But he'll tease me now because he'll say, "Where are the keys? They're not in the key area." So I think, well, going with that theme, what do you think are the biggest challenges that people face when trying to get organized?
Well, you know, I think, Dallas, what they do is they try to do too much all at once. And I always advise people to take the one area that really bothers you the most, that you struggle with the most, focus on that, form the right habits and change the behaviors that you're trying to change until you feel that you've been successful in that area. And once you feel comfortable and you feel like you're on your way, then pick another area and just take one step at a time. And that way you won't get so overwhelmed and you'll be successful and you'll be able to not only get organized, but hopefully stay that way.
So what you're saying is instead of necessarily feeling like you need to be overwhelmed and see this as a huge project, but like you said, step-by-step successes help you then go to the next thing.
Absolutely. If you walk into your office and you're just so overwhelmed with all the clutter and the paper and you look around and you've got stacks all over the place, you know, try with your desk first and say, okay, I'm just going to clean off the top of my desk. And then maybe I'll look at the filing cabinet, and then I'll take the next area, because we try to just dedicate a whole day to becoming more organized and getting ourselves in order, and it's really an exhausting process. Plus, we don't always have that much time. So just take the one area, work on that, and then move on to the next.
Well, and, you know, you just mentioned this, so I'd love for you to give us some examples. You know, one of the things that you focus on are the mental and physical aspects of being organized. What are some of those things that we don't even realize that affect us when we're not organized?
Well, I think the whole mental aspect of getting organized is this whole idea of focus. People think that, you know, when they multitask, when they're doing two or three things all at the same time, they're getting so much more done. But in actuality, it's real interesting. There's been a lot of studies on this where we've asked people to stop multitasking and to split up their tasks and do one each, you know, by themselves individually. And it's really interesting because what they find is that they're accomplishing the exact same thing, but their quality of work is so much greater and they're finishing them in a much shorter period of time. So it's really trying to get away from multitasking and thinking that busyness is being productive when it's not, and really understand the value of focusing.
Well, and that's an interesting theme. Our guest last week talked about that as well, focusing on what we want to say before we say it and really focusing on the issue at hand. And I think the reality is that many of us think by multitasking, like you said, we're getting more done, but in reality, our work actually suffers, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I think it suffers. I think there are times when you can multitask, and I'm not saying that you never can, because just the way that life is, we're constantly getting interrupted, and every time we get interrupted, you're really multitasking. Because when you think about what happens when you multitask, you have to ask yourself, are you really doing two things at the same time? And it's impossible the way that your brain is wired to really do two things at the same time. What you're actually doing is just switching back and forth between two tasks. Like, for example, everybody can probably relate to talking on the phone and typing an email. You know?
One of the things as a business etiquette person I totally advise against, yes.
We're always guilty of doing, everybody's guilty of doing that. Even I do that sometimes.
Oh, goodness.
You know, and what happens is you type that email and you halfway through the conversation you have to stop and say, oh, I'm sorry, what was that you said? Or worse yet, you hit the send button a little bit too quick because you weren't paying attention.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Yeah, and you know, what I tell people is there is no such thing as unsend.
Right.
Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, and I think that also goes to the next point about, you know, people texting. You know, when you are sitting there having lunch with someone and, you know, your dedicated attention to be to that should be to that person, and then all of a sudden you start texting, you're looking down. What are you actually saying to that person?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, Dallas, you bring up a great point, because I tell folks in my classes that I teach and when I work with them one-on-one that it's okay to multitask at times, except when you're talking and you're dealing with another individual, whether it is on the phone or in person. It is so important to make sure that you are 100% focused on that individual. Even if you're on the phone, people can pick up on the fact that you're reading something else or you're typing and you're not fully engaged in that conversation, and it really doesn't make them feel valued at all.
Oh, you know, I completely concur, and thank you so much for being another ambassador for what I'm out there saying, because it's so true. We've gotten so busy and focused on ourselves that we forget about the other person, and that's really what business etiquette is all about. You know, and another case in point to that is think about when your spouse is watching television. And perhaps even a game. We have a big game coming up, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
many of us are going to be watching the game. And you have something very important to tell them. And they say, oh, I'm listening, but they're watching the television. You know, eye contact and really active listening is something that's lost. And we end up getting frustrated and communication breaks down. And we're just, you know, it just causes a domino effect of negative feelings.
Absolutely, Dallas. And, you know, between email and voicemail and video on demand and web surfing and texting, you know, you couldn't really create a worse working environment if you tried. You know, it's just the technology and all the distractions that we have really contribute to folks, you know, people's inability to become focused and to also improve on that work etiquette that you talk about so much.
Well, and that brings me to a question, Karen. You know, when we're talking about that, you're so right. One of the things that I try to say, and when I'm teaching people, is how do we stay connected while being connected? And it sounds so simple, but it's exactly what you're talking about. Can you give us one tip, perhaps, that we could apply today to help us with that technology aspect, maybe an organizational tip, a simple thing that we could actually put into place today?
Absolutely. And, you know, I see this all the time, and especially in the work environment, is we're so accustomed to being so electronically connected that we have taken the personal aspect out of our communication. And it's so easy for somebody to sit down and type an email and shoot it out. But I always tell folks that, you know, email, you've figured it out probably by now, is the biggest form of business communication.
Right.
And when you sit down to type an email, really ask yourself, is this going to require a chain of emails back and forth? And if it is, then pick up the phone and have a conversation. And then if you need to document what was said, then just shoot out one email.
Oh, that's a great tip. Yeah, like a follow-up, basically
exactly.
Recap of the conversation. Sure, yes.
Right. I can't tell you how many times I have seen in an office someone's emailing the person in the cubicle next to them.
Oh, I hate that.
You know, and this conversation is going back and forth, and 20 emails later, they're still trying to solve their issue. It's like, can't you just stand up and look over your wall and have a conversation?
Yeah, or don't hover, don't be the prairie dog, but go around the cubicle
right.
And see if they have a moment so you can have eye contact. Sure, yeah. Completely
Absolutely.
Agree with that. Well, that's a great tip. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was about your personality and finding what really worked for you. So what would be some of the nuances, if you will, or maybe some of the personalities that you deal with and a tip that you can offer for those personalities?
Wow, that's a good question, and it's one that I struggle with as far as how to answer it so that it applies to everybody, because unfortunately what I find is that, you know, people are trying to look for that one system that works for everybody. And getting organized is not a one-size-fits-all strategy, unfortunately. What works for me may not work for you because my thought process is different than yours.
Oh, now do you think that applies because of the right and left brain type individual as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's how we process information. If somebody is very creative, and, you know, they're going to want things that look nice. If somebody is very analytical, they may not care what color their files are. It just has to make sense to them.
Okay.
So it's real important to say, and this, I mean, this applies to people in their homes, too. You're working with multiple personalities in a home, and if you're trying to get your family organized and you've got kids involved, you know, look at their personalities and say, hey, you know, what works for you? What is your thought process? Because the way I process information is not the way that you process it.
Wow, you know, I never really thought about that, and that really applies to how you manage people on your team as well. We can't treat everyone the same because of how they process information or how they are most productive. So it sounds like that's the same philosophy.
Absolutely, and you bring up a point that I really emphasize a lot in class when we talk about teams and projects. And, you know, here's a good example. If you've got a team that you're putting together and you're trying to decide who that team leader should be, you know, do you give it to somebody who's very controlling and dominant, or do you give it to somebody who's more accommodating? And, you know, people always end up thinking, well, I got to give it to the person who's more controlling, or I got to give it to the one who's more accommodating. But the answer really is it depends on the project.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that would make sense.
If that project is something that needs a 24-hour turnaround time, I'm going to probably assign it to someone who's dominant and can take control. But if I've got different representation from various departments and I want to make sure that everybody has equal input and say, I'm going to probably want to look for somebody who's more accommodating.
Yeah, someone who's more open to ideas and can bridge. I remember this is a funny thing, and I was asked 2 weeks before my wedding to be the chair for a consecutive year for a Star Chef event for the March of Dimes. And the reason I was asked to do that, because the upcoming chairman was a little bit more dominating, like you said, and most of the committee
had told the person at the, on the staff that they were going to quit.
Oh.
And so I remember them saying, oh, Dallas, please, if you'll just come run the meetings and, you know, help us bridge the personalities, if you will. When you have a team of people, you've got some very strong ideas, and then you have folks that you really have to draw their opinions out because they're more timid or more shy to say what they think or offer their opinion because, you know, that's just not their personality.
Right, and if you've got somebody who's very dominant, you've got somebody who's shy as a member of that team, they might have some great ideas, but they're going to be intimidated and not want to share them.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. I've experienced that personally myself, so... It's funny, yeah, 2 weeks before your wedding and you know, you're hosting a huge event, you know, a high-profile event in town, and they're telling you it's no stress.
Well, talk about focus, huh?
Yeah, really. My wedding, sure, you know, I guess at the end of the day, we still got married, so it worked out okay.
There you go.
Yeah, we're still married, so that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the organization process. I'm sure you work with people and you implement projects and procedures and give them tips, and I don't know if you found this to be true or not, but I've seen this happen. You put something in place and then you get back in the same boat you were in before you started.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what do you think about that? How do they get back on track?
Well, that's a great question, and I always tell people after I've worked with them that high probability is that once I leave and we've got systems in place that fit their personality and that fit the way that they feel comfortable working, chances are they are going to look around their surroundings in a week or so and they're going to find that they're heading back in the direction that they were before we started working together. And that is just the way it is. Because what I do and what happens is I'm asking people to change some deeply ingrained habits that they're used to doing.
Right.
And in order to change those habits, you have to stick with the new habit that you're trying to form for a period of time. And there's been studies that say that it takes about 21 days to form a new habit. And you have to stick with it so that new habit then becomes second nature. And I tell people, you know what, temporarily falling back into your old ways is not permanent failure. It's, you know, a chance to say, okay, I'm heading in the wrong direction. You've recognized it, which is a huge, you know, step in your inroads to becoming more organized anyways. You've recognized the fact that, hey, I'm heading down the wrong path. And just to kind of sit back and use what I call the human reset button. Just kind of, you know, reset, get your stuff back in order, go back to what was implemented, take 60 seconds or a couple minutes to, you know, to regroup, recognize where you've gone kind of astray, and then get back on track. It's okay.
So, you know, it sounds a lot like when we're trying to start that exercise program at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you being an athlete, I'm sure you're very dedicated, obviously, to be able to participate in triathlons and to qualify and compete for the Olympic distance triathlon. That's amazing. But for some people, like you said, they feel defeated and they just don't have that tenacity to get back up and get started again. So I completely agree with you. And 21 days is certainly the study, but we have that piece of pizza and we don't walk that day and we say, oh, well, forget it. What's the use? But if we just keep on going, it, like you said, it'll become second nature.
And the thing to remember, too, is you know, you're not trying to be perfect.
Oh, and who can be, right?
Right. And I think people get into that mindset that as soon as they get off track a little bit, oh, well, I've blown it. Oh, well, I've had that piece of pizza, so therefore, what's the use? It's okay.
Yeah.
That's just human nature. It's all right. Just get back on track. Recognize it and get yourself in the right direction again.
Well, speaking of getting yourself in the right direction, tell us a little bit about the GO system.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for asking. The GO system is just, I love teaching that course. I get so excited every time I get the opportunity to teach and be in front of people that are eager to learn and want to make progress in their productivity. And GO stands for getting organized, and it teaches folks how to become more organized and productive and focused in their work environment. And we cover 7 key issues that really impact people's ability to become more successful. And you asked the question earlier about, you know, what happens when somebody has tried and they have failed. And I think it's because they haven't addressed all the key issues that get that are involved in that course. And just real quickly, we set, you know, we talk about focus and being the foundation of the course and how to establish the right habits and behaviors. We talk about how do you handle your incoming items like your emails, your voicemails, and paper, those kinds of things. How to prioritize your work and deal with interruptions that we're always faced with, and time management skills. And then we talk a lot about project management, and we get into some personalities towards the end of the course. So we really cover a good spectrum of various topics.
Oh, it sounds like you're really breaking down the keys to organization. It's not just, hey, let's get organized, and it's just this word that means nothing. You're really talking about ways to do that and the different points, if you will, of doing exactly that.
Absolutely, and it's the whole course and the whole premise behind it is, in order to be successful, you have to understand that it's about your habits and behaviors, and it's not about another gadget or another piece of software or buying some file trays, or it's not about that, or another planner or anything like that. It's really about, okay, what am I doing now that's not working? How do I recognize it? And then given the tools to get yourself on the right track, solutions to your problems.
Absolutely. Solutions to the problem and taking action.
Yes, yes.
And taking action and not giving up.
Right, not giving up. Getting organized is an ongoing process. You know? I don't care how organized you are. Even I have to look around sometimes and say, wow, I've had a busy week. I need to go into my office and really get things straightened around, because sometimes you are just running from one thing to another, and you end up putting something down and grab something else, and out the door you go. That's life, but that's okay. You know, recognizing it.
I'm so glad you said that, because I have a stack of business cards on my desk, contracts to get out. So you've made me feel a little bit better today. Thank you, Karen.
Yes, yes.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. Well, Karen, one of the things that we do ask our guests to do, or I'm sorry, our listeners to do, is send us questions for our guest. And so in our listener mailbag, we do have a question from Kelly in Oregon.
All right.
So let's take a moment to give her some advice.
Okay.
Kelly wants to know, what are two pieces of advice that can help her become more organized today?
All right. Well, thanks for the question, Kelly. Two pieces of advice. The first piece of advice I have to say is that you have to want to get organized. You have to have the desire, and you have to be committed and to realize that it's going to be an ongoing process, okay? And it just depends on how unorganized you are to begin with. Second piece of advice is to, like I said at the very beginning of the show, is to take it one piece at a time. You know, even if this is a question about your home, you know, don't say you're going to wake up on Saturday morning and organize the whole garage, because chances are you won't. But if you say, you know what, I'm just going to organize the kids' toys, or I'm going to organize the garden tools, or whatever, you know, one piece at a time. If it's your office, don't go in and say, I'm going to make a clean sweep of my entire office today. Take the one area that bothers you the most, focus on that, get that under control, work with that for a while, make sure that stays the way you want it to stay, and then move on to the next one.
Well, that is some great advice. Karen, let me ask you, as far as people working with you, because, you know, we have listeners all over the globe, really, and not everybody can come and meet with us personally. And so I'm guessing that you can also do this over the telephone. Can you do some telecoaching as well as personal coaching?
Sure. Yep, I absolutely do. Do a lot of telecoaching, helping people, you know, working with them, making them accountable, giving them checkpoints, things to check in on, you know, checking their progress along the way. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a possibility. And then what about those folks that own businesses and want to bring you in to kind of do a team approach?
Yes, we do that two ways. Through the Go System course, which is either taught in a 3 or 6 hour format, depending on, you know, what the challenges are of that particular organization. And then a lot of my clients will also schedule time after the course for some implementation, where we'll, you know, do a 3 hour course in the morning, break for lunch, and then come back in the afternoon, select some of the participants that have been in the course, go to their offices, as long as they're willing to be the guinea pigs, and we start the implementation process so that everybody can see what's involved, and then they can, you know, go back, check, you know, go to their offices, and I can check in with them to see how they're coming as well.
It's funny that you said that. I was working with an executive on some coaching on business etiquette, and I said, oh, well, show me where your office is. And he said, oh, you don't want to see that. So I'm thinking he needs your services. But I'll make sure that I approach that in a timely fashion when it's going to be well received.
Yeah, sometimes people are always embarrassed, but trust me, I've seen some pretty bad situations, so nothing really is going to surprise me.
Well, and you know, you're very kind, and you've got a wonderful sense of humor, and so I think that people would be delighted to work with you.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
Like you said, being organized is something that we all seem to want to tackle, but it seems to overwhelm us. So having someone who can do it in a friendly way, but yet make us accountable, I think is really the key.
Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you can tell people what they don't want to hear as long as you tell it to them nicely, right?
Oh, yeah. I say, say it in love, making sure it's to benefit them, and they'll receive it so much differently than, you know, gosh, you are so unorganized. What's your problem?
Exactly. No.
So anyway, well, Karen, we're about to come to a close. What, if anything, would you like to have our last thoughts, I guess, would you like to have our listeners know before we close our program today?
I think two things, really, Dallas. First of all, not to confuse frantic motion with constructive action.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes.
Busyness isn't necessarily good. And second of all, I just encourage everybody just to slow down and look at what their challenges are and to realize that becoming more organized and focused and productive is all about trying to get the best out of life and not the most out of life.
You know what? Sometimes I think you're right. Our focus is on about getting more,
mm-hmm.
and we lose the best, don't we?
We sure do. We lose sight of what's important.
Right. Especially during the holidays.
Yeah.
Especially during the holidays. And I think if we can look at every day like we do the holidays, and like you said, focus on what's important, then we'll have such a better quality of life.
Absolutely. A better balance in life.
Yeah. Well, of course, we always like to offer special bonuses to our listeners. And I know, Karen, you have put something together very special for our listeners today. So tell us what they can receive if they decide to contact you.
Well, thanks, Dallas. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I really appreciate being part of Purpose Without Limits today. And what I'd like to do is for your listeners is offer, first, you know, we talked about personalities. And there are really four key personality traits that affect our ability to be productive in the work environment. And I've got a nice chart that I've put together that just kind of sheds some light on just these four key personality traits. And if you can focus on those, I think it'll really help in your quest to understand maybe where some of the challenges are. So I'd like to offer that personality trait chart to your listeners, as well as a complimentary coaching session for 30 minutes. If anybody wants to give me a call and kind of talk to me about what some of their challenges are, maybe I can help them do that as well.
Oh, well, that is so gracious of you, Karen. I really think that sometimes we don't, first of all, the personality chart will be great. I'm afraid to see what mine is. I don't know. Can you be more than one personality? Is that possible? I know. Little scattered, the busyness question, I think I can relate to. But anyway, so to take advantage of this, we want to be sure that we can email you. And guys, let me tell you, to make sure to take advantage of this, you need to be sure to put the code in PLW for Purpose Without Limits, because this is specifically for our listeners. And, you know, again, that chart and the bonus coaching, that's amazing. So, Karen, tell us how we can reach you.
Okay, a couple ways. You can email me at Karen@organizeforresults, and that's just the word organize, and then the number four, and then results with an S, .com.
Okay.
You can check out my website, which is organizeforresults.com, and there's a link on there that you can email me, as well as feel free to give me a call anytime. My number is 205-907-5170.
So are you telling me that you don't want multiple emails back and forth about the problem?
Yeah, exactly. Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone and give me a call. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Just the main point is for them to make sure that that you know that they're listeners so we can track that so you're not giving this wonderful value to just anybody.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, Karen, we really appreciate your time today. And I'm also excited that you're joining the Impression Institute. For those of you who don't know, at Make Your Best Impression, we have the Impression Institute that have professionals like Karen that focus on making your best impression. So if you're interested in having any of our trainers speak to your conventions or meetings, we'd love to talk to you. So again, pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll be happy to return your call. Wow, that's a novel idea. So thank you again for your time, Karen, and I hope you'll join us again.
Thanks, Del.
Well, it's that time again. Time to say goodbye, but not for long. Next week, we'll be back with another great expert to help you reshape your image and redefine your brand. So you don't want to miss that. Make sure you visit our website at makeyourbestimpression.com and take the free online etiquette test. You never know where you are until you're aware of what you need to do to be your best self. So be sure to do that, and we'll make sure to keep you up to date on all the happenings at Purpose Without Limits. Thanks again. This is your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, wishing you a fantastic week.
You've been listening to Purpose Without Limits with your host, Dallas Teague Snyder. Dallas is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. Visit makeyourbestimpression.com for more information.